The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcasting Network. Geeky programming for all the nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, Nerdapalooza, the world's largest nerd music festival, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcast community forums and learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
To the 13th episode of the Wicked Anime Podcast. I'm Batman, and with me is Glitch.
Gonna be like Nightwing or Robin? Okay, fine. I'm Glitch. Hi.
And across a river is Sean, the Uncommon Rider. Sean.
Hey.
And across the pond is the stupid awesome analyst, John, and the hard man with hard opinions, Andrew.
Hello.
Okay.
So it's time to move on to some news. We start ringing the news bell.
News!
Thank you. So we don't really have a lot of news this week, but we'll just start off by...
news was sucked today.
Yeah. And we'll just talk about a couple things that we saw in our passing. Most of it came from Dylan. So what we have for media news is that by the time this episode is released, Park Chan-wook's new movie, what was it called, Stoker?
Stoker.
Stoker will be out.
Get stoked for Stoker, everyone.
And if you don't know, he's the guy who made the Vengeance trilogy, like Old Boy, Mr. Vengeance, and Lady Vengeance. So
I looked into the order of his name because I kept seeing it differently. It's either Park Chan-wook or Chan-wook Park, and it's different on his IMDb page and Wikipedia, so I don't know which is right.
Well, it could be just
Park Chan-wook or Wook Chan Park. Or...
Chan-wook is like one, like,
his IMDb page is going to be the anglicized version. The Wikipedia version is going to be how they actually say it in wherever he's from.
Korea.
Yeah, Korea. Yeah, I figured it was like sort of how Japan will say like last name first.
Right.
But yeah, Park Wook Chan, Chan Wook Park.
All right, so just
Park
from
Chan Wook. Yeah, I still got it wrong there.
Dylan.
But yeah, I'm excited for that movie. I would like to go see it, but I don't think I want to see it by myself because I'm sure it's going to be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
See
what you're
doing. You will?
Yes.
I don't know. Go and see that with your parents, kids.
I know. Oh, give a little rundown of what it's about. I kind of forget.
From the trailer, it looks like it's about this really messed up family. A mother and her daughter, and I think the daughter's the main character. I believe her father had just died. And it sort of alludes to her uncle being a really creepy dude. And either having some sort of affair with her mother, and then it looks like he might even be interested in an affair with the young girl, too. But I don't know much else about it.
That sounds like his kind of movie, yeah. I hope there's revenge.
There seems to be murdering involved and burying of bodies.
Again, so it is sounds violent. Like his kind of movie.
The one thing I did see is I saw like a quick clip of a clip from the movie that was like 2 minutes long. It had like very little dialogue in it, but it was super tense. It was just the uncle and the little girl, and the uncle pushes over like a wine glass to her, and when she sips it, it's so like, I don't know, I guess they like got all the like tiniest sounds, and like you can hear breath echoing throughout the cup. It's so weird.
Huh. I remember what I was going to say.
Okay, go ahead, because that was just a weird train of thought.
The one thing that I've noticed about this movie, or rather lack thereof noticing this movie, is that, it's 2 weeks away from this recording that we're doing, and I haven't seen anything about it. We've saw that one trailer the first time that we saw it, or Andrew and I have at least, and then nothing else as
do you
of now.
Well, do you guys watch TV? Because I don't.
Yes.
Oh, and I guess you haven't seen many spots
no,
for it.
No, haven't seen any internet spots for it. Haven't seen any
I've seen
TV.
Tons of internet spots, actually.
Really?
I have not seen a darn thing for this movie.
What sites are you going to, Dylan?
Huh?
What sites are you going to?
I don't know. I think the internet just knows That just knows me too well. I like Park Chan-wook. Well, I've Googled him before and like looked into other movies. So.
Oh, then Google knows you like him and they hunted you down.
Yeah, exactly.
Google is jacked into your brain.
And yeah, I've been. I've seen banners and stuff for it.
Cool.
But I don't know how well a TV spot for it would convey what the movie's about.
If I remember, I guess that'd be something worth going to see. However, I have not seen Die Hard yet, so that needs to come first.
No, stop it.
What? Mm-mm. So, in the fashion of me saying that this was going to be a little different tonight, tonight we are going to do strange news now first instead of gaming news, because tonight we're talking about. First, before we do gaming news, because tonight is all about video games. In strange news, we have something again from Dylan, which is an article that involved.
Just read the headline on the newspaper.
I closed it out. I think it says.
Dang it! Let me find it. Fill time.
I just think it's funny that you guys won't let Dylan be in charge of like emceeing this thing, but he's brought all of the content this week. That's all you, buddy.
Okay, I found it. Okay.
I think Glitch just read it, folks.
Glitch just read it. The headline reads China Ferrari Sex Orgy Death Crash. That's the headline.
That's an awesome band name too. Yeah.
I know, that's what I love too.
That's going to be three movies.
Glitch and I's new band, China Ferrari Sex Orgy Death Crash.
Or at least a song in there.
So what?
There's like two or three good song titles in there.
Our first album, Metal Ball of Fire.
So apparently this article that it's about is it involved literally that's what's going on in the story, but the person involved, the male driver who actually died in the crash, was the son of the Chinese president's right-hand man, which...
This raises so many questions.
It's, where did he get a Ferrari from?
Was it a Ferrari orgy, or was it an orgy in one Ferrari?
It was an orgy of Ferraris.
Ferraris aren't big!
Yeah, they're not. They have very minimal trunk space.
You can at least fit two or three people in there. That makes it a threesome, not an orgy.
Wait, I have another question.
It's an orgy of horsepower.
How do they get a Ferrari? Isn't China communist?
That's what I just said. Anyways, apparently there's been a lot in the news about problems within the families of the Chinese government, which has been causing problems for the government as a whole. Surprise!
Beat me to it. Death crashes.
Jerk.
But yeah, so this, for China, this is basically just another chapter in this problem.
I want to read the rest of this book.
Yeah, that sounds like a great, great book.
Chapter 20. China Ferrari Orgy Death Crash.
new EP.
Who was driving? Like, what is that? Why they crashed?
What were they driving?
Like,
with?
I'm just
all of them were driving while having sex.
I am just gonna stop driving this car right now.
Well, that's how crashes work.
Was he going through a tunnel?
Maybe, I don't know. Dang.
I actually like that one. I thought it was mediocre, but Glitch really liked it.
Would he crash because he's like, what are you guys doing back there? Turns around, crashes the car.
Oh, God.
It's like a surprise orgy in the back of his car. He's already hitting like 100, and then he sees it in the zero of your music. What are you doing?
Okay, I'm going to have this whole image of, it's a Ferrari clown car.
Did you talk about what actually happened? Like, what, or did it not give any actual details to what was going on in the car?
Apparently they found two women and...
They kind of found.
They found two half-naked women and a half-naked male who was the one driving, who was the son of the politician. And that's about it.
That's a China Ferrari... Threesome sex crash.
Well, maybe orgy the Ferrari is at least was involved people. Somehow. I'm pretty sure at this point the Ferrari was impaling somebody
Unless we're counting that curvy Ferrari.
That could be true.
Or the stick shift in the Ferrari. The seats are very feminine.
Yeah. It was a threesome until the Ferrari got involved, basically.
It was just a man, two women, and 600 horsepower.
God. Kinky.
I think that's even illegal in China.
It might have more than 600. I don't know anything about cars.
But how do you focus on driving with two? That's how you crash. Two half naked women in the car.
Yeah,
they don't even have to be in the car.
Oh my gosh!
I mean, at least take shifts on the wheel.
Now, I guess the next question is: did the Ferrari explode afterwards?
No, because two people survived.
Somebody, I got you, Glitz. There you go. That was the joke I was going to make.
Actually, I think the article said that both the women survived. The only death was the driver.
And if you timed it just right, he was coming and going at the same time.
Mostly just going, though.
All right, I think we got to stop.
Yeah. I think we've worked every double entendre out of this possible.
I doubt
that. No, we can work something else out.
Okay, bye. I think we have. I mean, I want to shut Dylan and Glitch down now.
Could you imagine them being in the car from now on?
No.
What? No. All right.
Yeah,
good.
I think that was only funny to you.
Excellent.
What was only funny?
Whatever Glitch said.
Fun. Maybe I was laughing and it was just inaudible.
Nope. I think it just.
This is why I didn't want to MC.
any more strange news?
No, that's as strange as it gets.
I don't think we can top that.
I think that should be how we close it. That's how strange it gets. Or what did you just say? That's as strange as it gets.
That's as strange as it gets. All right, so let's move on to some gaming news.
Maybe we should do what we're playing first. Seeing that this is our video game episode, we should do what we're playing first, because the gaming news story will lead into the Tapagotchi.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's everybody been playing?
Dylan?
Well, I've been playing Dead Space 3, but I think you want me to talk about Naruto since you're supposed to all play the demo.
That's fine.
No, we'll talk about Naruto a little later. Just start with what you're actually playing.
I'm playing through Dead Space 3 right now. I've got just a couple chapters left.
And how is it?
I really like parts of it. I think I wish the second game had been the third game. I thought the second game was...
in the second game.
Yeah, I didn't like... They just shoehorned multiplayer into the second game. I don't know, it wasn't quite as claustrophobic as the first game. But the third one, I don't think multiplayer's in it. Co-op's in it, but that works well within, the Dead Space universe, I think. I haven't gotten around to playing that. But it's also, there are very claustrophobic parts to it. But I've been having fun with it. I do have some qualms about it, but...
Yeah, is it as... Is it what we thought when we first saw it? Is it too much based on action now rather than the horror element?
No, I wouldn't say so. Well, it's not like over the top. I guess I would classify it more like a instead of survival horror, a horror action.
In my opinion, Dead Space has never really been survival horror.
Yeah.
One of the things that I've been hearing though, as far as qualms, is you know how now they have the duck and cover system. How pretty much you...
It's not really a cover system. You can... The only thing they added was you can duck or crouch, and then you can roll.
Yeah, because I just heard that really wasn't...
It wasn't
really necessary. I
hardly ever use it.
Yeah, exactly. They really didn't need it to add it at all. It was just there to add the action element to it.
Yeah, I think the only reason, at least the cover is there, is because in parts of the game you're shooting at humans with other guns, not just necromorphs. And so it would have been a little stupid to be just standing in front of a crate getting shot and then trying to shoot somebody else too.
Yeah. Hey, does this mean that because there are other humans in the game, they added actual weapons and not just mining tools?
Yes. One of the big differences is now there's a weapon crafting system.
Yeah.
Did you not know that? I think it's really cool, but I would have much preferred it just to stay like it had. You run around, you pick up the plasma cutter, you get the schematic for the line gun. I think it's cool, but I would have much rather just finding the weapons or something. I don't know. It doesn't really work. I'm not as into it as I was with the old games.
Right. Yeah, I heard it also kind of takes you, like, one of the Dead Space's biggest things was it tried to keep you in the game, like, the menus and everything were very immersive, and, like, mm-hmm. the crafting system, because of the whole, like, microtransaction thing, like, it pulls you out of that.
Yeah, I don't know, I haven't really dealt with much of that, but the biggest thing that I dislike about that franchise is my favorite part of the first game was just feeling completely hopeless in, like, certain parts of the game. Like, I would be like, oh, crap, I'm not getting out of this.
Yeah.
And then I've never felt that in any in the second game or any part of the third game thus far.
Well, it's because...
It's kind of a problem most games now.
It is because when Dead Space 1 came out, it was very, very indie. And then when it got really popular, so when Dead Space 2 and 3 came out, they're like, oh, we have to mainstream this. And that was its major flaw.
Yeah, it's hard to recapture the essence of a horror game the second and third time around.
Yeah,
well, it's just like a horror movie, you know.
And one of the things that I actually really didn't like it worked at first, and then the more I listened to it, the more I really, really didn't like it was Isaac Clarke's speaking personality. I thought it was much better in number one when he was the silent hero.
Mm.
I really didn't like his voice actor and the lines that they gave him were really bad, and I just didn't like it.
Yeah, but I am enjoying the third game. I would recommend somebody getting it.
Yeah,
so you can.
I've been a huge Dead Space fan, so
no, me too.
I'll nitpick at it.
Yeah, me too. Like I have all the comic books.
I'm just
stuff.
Saying for anyone who might be listening.
Yeah, yeah. Like I have the comic books and stuff. Those are really neat, but they actually are. who's next?
You know, I've been playing pretty much old school games now. Just went through my old things. So my Super Nintendo, my NES.
Nice.
Just went to town. But the most up-to-date thing I've been playing is I've been replaying Fallout 3 again just to make a stupid asinine character I call Mr. G with a mohawk. And, I'm making Mr. G fool. And all he does is blow shit up with big guns and punches things.
Is he black?
Of course.
We had a friend who just ran around in Fallout 3, and he would just get drunk, and then he would upgrade his, like, punching abilities.
Yeah.
So he would, because I guess it would, like, help that or something, and alcohol does.
Yeah, he could punch, apparently could punch anything to death.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just apparently just keep playing that game and being stupid and reading out the most ass-holy selections in Mr. T's voice. It just makes it even more fun for me.
What are you guys playing, nice. Flemings?
I've been playing Fist of the North Star.
As have I.
okay, next.
Are you surprised? Honestly, I really haven't had that much time for video games. But I think besides that, I continued playing a little bit of Street Fighter Cross Tekken, which because just to catch up on all the DLC and stuff that they had going on. With it, and unfortunately the game is still really not that good. Like, they really could have done a much better job at that game, and Capcom could have done a much better job releasing all their DLC on time instead of releasing a broken game and then fixing it later. It's kind of their thing now.
Yeah.
Because that's really all I have time for now is just fighting games that you can, you know, pick up and then put away.
Yeah, and I really want to play Ni No Kuni.
Yeah, and then
oh god, yeah, I know. I'm gonna end up buying a PS3 just to play that game.
I really wish I had better at RPGs.
Like I would buy.
I
one.
I couldn't even beat the demo.
Wow,
are you serious?
I only played it for like a minute though.
The Sly Cooper 4 and Ni No Kuni is the first two games we get when we get a PS3. Okay.
Well, I mean, the thing is, the game that got me to get a PS3 was White Knight Chronicles. That's, like, still one of my favorite games ever, and I am not an RPG fan. I do not like playing RPGs, but... And
that's really interesting, because I know a lot of other RPG fans hate White Knight Chronicles.
I know. And that's why it's... Well, I think that's kind of why. I really don't like RPGs, but White Knight Chronicles kind of catered to my interests as far as video games go.
Oh, I got you.
And not to mention, I got to create my own character, so it gives me that little bit of more immersion into the story. That's what I really like about any game that you can create a character in and actually be a part of the story. That makes it a lot better for me.
Yeah.
That you can create a character.
Well, okay. So that kind of segues into what I've been playing. And I wanted to go last cause I didn't play the demo like the rest of you guys did. So I won't be talking for a few minutes. So I've been playing a lot of the
series. We're just skipping John.
I play Fist of the North Star. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
Okay.
They had a combo answer. They play everything together.
Gotcha. Patty cake, hot potato,
double dutch,
four square.
Okay, Sean.
Yeah, so I've been playing a lot of the Secret World MMO that came out, I think, last year. And it just went buy to play, and this game is brilliant.
Free to play?
No, it's buy to play. It's like Guild Wars. Yeah. Which I think is like the best model ever, honestly, because it keeps all those dumb idiots out, but at the same time, like, it's affordable.
Yeah.
But yeah, the character progression system in that game is brilliant. Because it's not like most MMOs where, like, you pick a class and then you're like, you know, there's like a best build for that class. With this, you pick two weapons and then you have like 500 plus skills that you can learn, but you can only equip 7 active skills and 7 passive skills at any one time. So it's a lot more like making like a Magic the Gathering deck where it's like all about synergy between your different skills.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Yeah, it also that sounds like something I would get really, because I'm just terrible at RPGs. I am awful at RPGs.
Yeah,
I would just be so bad at choosing, like, I would choose the worst powers and make the worst character ever.
Oh,
I
got
so confused playing Final Fantasy, was it 13, I think?
Dude,
oh, God. How did you get confused with that? This whole
that was
game.
Like the most linear game ever.
That's hallway,
dude,
the game.
When I
Well, no, I know that, but I'm just saying using the correct abilities. Like, I would fight, like, one boss over and over again and be like, what am I doing wrong? It's because I just didn't know how to
apply,
you know, select my powers properly.
That
You're
was
just
my,
not
that,
an RPGer.
Yeah, that was my
yeah,
downfall
it's
for Final Fantasy X.
Because I never really, like, I didn't get to play a lot of those when I was younger, so I didn't really learn how to play them.
I love RPGs, but it's hard to find a decent one that gets me hooked in and want to play it more.
Yeah. Well, that's why I really liked White Knight Chronicles, because, again, I got to create my own character. I wasn't just what's the point of role-playing if you're role-playing someone else's character?
No, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And in this MMO, like, well, first of all, like, my character looks like me. Like,
that's
I
awesome.
Always play, like, you guys know me. I always play, like, versions of me. But, like, the other thing is like, the really cool thing is you know how, like, in most MMOs and RPGs, like, you have to pick a class and then you have to stay that class, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in this, you can literally learn every skill. So if you want a DPS, you can pick up a bunch of DPS skills and you're DPSing. And then if you want to switch to tanking the same day, you just put on your tanking skills and go to town.
I actually, the game that's kind of like that I'm actually relatively good at is Dark Souls.
Oh,
which
yeah,
I
yeah.
want to pick up too, because I'm getting a
it's very, very good. You can do that. But basically, you can, you know, put down your heavy armor and pick up lighter armor to use different techniques or whatever. But
as far as MMOs go, it doesn't handhold you at all. Like, it's definitely an MMO for people that like to be challenged, but it's not so hard that it's like EVE Online, which is like spreadsheet warfare.
Yeah. Spreadsheets the game.
But no, it's a ton of fun, and I definitely recommend it to anybody looking to get into the MMOs, because it does have a really low start cost. You know, you're looking at like $40 to pick up the game, and then it's free to pay, and you literally don't lose out on anything for not having a subscription.
Huh. So, okay.
Yeah. It's good stuff. I really enjoy it. So now you guys can go talk about Naruto, because I don't care.
You're right. So our homework assignment for this episode was that the demo for Naruto Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Storm 3 came out.
Incredibly long title.
I got an F for this assignment, by the way.
A 0. You didn't get an F. An F is a number.
Whatever.
What?
No, it's not. Get back in the Ferrari.
Anyways,
at least I have fun there.
Anyways, the Ultimate Ninja Storm games are typically, like, I feel that they're mostly built to be multiplayer games, because, like, the roster has, like, over 100 characters in this game. Of course, you don't get to see it because they only release a single player. Yeah, that was the worst part of the demo was...
Yeah, I was expecting actually fighting stuff.
I did think that the demo for this one was a bit odd, because it was like a flashback part. It wasn't
Yeah.
Yeah, like, pretty much you have to watch the show and know what's going on to get what's going on, which makes sense, but still.
But then again, I think the majority of people that would buy that game are people who, like, watch the show and want to play through the show.
Well, no, because
that's what the game is, pretty much.
Okay, well, that just answered my question. I was like,
a four-minute video before you even start playing.
No, yeah. I wanted to get the game to play multiplayer, because the multiplayer in all the Naruto games is pretty cool. You get to do some, and the fact that you get to select from all the characters, that's really fun. So, like, and it was weird, because the demo was two fights, and the first fight is scripted, so it was like, okay, thanks for the scripted fight. And then the second fight...
Jump, jump, hit, hit, wait for other clan members. Yeah. Jump, jump, hit, hit. Wait for the clan members. Although I do like the quick time events. They're different.
No, but the thing is, and then the second fight, did anybody find the second fight really hard?
No.
Because the thing is...
I didn't either.
Because I died. I died the first time I played the demo in that fight. And it the demo ended. I was like, seriously? I have so if I
even worth finishing this demo, yes, dude. Go away.
Wow. So, you lost the demo.
Deleted himself from his Xbox Live account.
Well, cuz after I died from him, that meant I had to start the demo all over again, go through the Ninetale fight again just to beat that guy to find out that was the end of the demo anyway.
Yeah, although that was the end of the demo.
I gotta say,
I was kind of hoping to get, like, you know, the main characters like Sasuke, Naruto, Sakura, a couple more, just actually fight people with those. But
yeah, I gotta say that in the sense that you were talking about, only people who, you know, watch the show will buy the game. I played that demo, and it genuinely made me interested in finding out about a lot of the characters. Like, I like the fact that it was a flashback when the third Hokage was still, you know, a ninja. Mm-hmm. And
that was
nothing but flashbacks.
What you were playing through was the night Naruto was born.
Yeah, yeah. And I liked the fact that you were watching the descendants, or rather the ancestors of the, you know,
East
characters
clan,
that you're following in the, like, Choza and stuff like that. It's like, oh, that's Choji's father. You know, that's so cool. You know, I thought that was really intriguing to me, and it got me genuinely interested in Naruto.
Yeah, as someone that, like, watches and likes the show, I did think it was cool. Like, oh, that's neat. I get to, like, fight the Ninetales and as the Honokanu, however they pronounce the village.
Yeah, there's a lot of different moments where if you're a real fan of the show, you're going to have a little excitement because they're doing those little tidbits of things that you wouldn't get unless you did watch the show. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Like you say, with Choji's father or Kiba's clan or...
Yeah. I also...
What other clan? Eno's clan was in there.
Yeah, the only thing is... the only problem...
The dog people.
And the Nagra clan.
Yeah. The problem... The only thing that I was kind of disappointed about is I didn't get to play as the characters that I like. Like, I didn't get to play Eno. I didn't get to play Shikamaru. I didn't get to play Tamari. Like, I like those characters, but, like, you know, they weren't even in the demo. So.
Did anyone else have trouble reading the menu stuff on that? Like, when they did the instructional draft?
Yeah, well, that's just bold to begin with.
It's a bit daunting when it pops up.
Yeah, that's just bold to begin with. I hate it when they bring up those things.
And it was hard to read them. Like, I have an HDTV too, but it's, like, hard for me to read it.
Yeah, the thing that I had trouble with was reading the chakra moves, because, you know, it was like triangle, square is like a chakra, triangle, circle is
and
ultimate.
Then, yeah, ultimate ninjutsu.
Yeah, and... Yeah,
I have an issue with this being chakra, attack, but there's one chakra button, there's one attack button. That kind of irks me with fighting games.
That was the funniest thing.
Like
it said...
Because I'm not good at fighting
like,
games.
In the menu to fight, it says fight. Circle repeatedly. Like, I was like, oh, awesome. Thank you. That sounds challenging.
It literally, to me, it's like, at least the single player is just for somebody who wants to, like, play through the show on rails, sort of.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but I think that the main grip of this game would be the multiplayer, to be honest with you. I'm really interested in the multiplayer. Mm-hmm. Like, I still might buy it just to check out the multiplayer, especially the fact that, like, you have all these characters to pick from, including the Bubble Ninja.
Yeah.
Dylan's favorite.
I totally forgot he was Jin Chiriki. That's how much I hated those episodes.
Although, I gotta give it this much, they're probably showing a lot more of the Jin Chiriki in this game instead of...
Yeah, you could play as
all of them.
Which I thought that was cool, because there were a few that, like, you literally never see much of, like
the horse guy.
I think the two-tail chick, you just see her getting killed. That's all you saw in the show. Spoiler alert.
You don't see that much in the manga either. Yeah,
yeah, but you still get to play it.
So yeah, that's kind of cool. You get to sort of see all those characters in probably a way you wouldn't be able to
exactly. Yeah, exactly.
The thing of it is, it's ridiculous how in-depth this game looks like it's going to be. Like, hours upon hours of gameplay.
Well, yeah, it would have to be. At least for the single player, for it to sort of, for you to, like, get caught up on that section of the show.
Right.
Yeah, then they're doing the Ninja Storm classic. You play as Naruto through the entire story.
Because in the, it showed Naruto in his, like, chakra mode, so you have to play through all of that.
Yeah.
To where he learns how
to do that. They started at Sage, too, didn't they?
Yeah, I don't remember if they got to Sage mode in the last game or this game.
I'm going to be honest. Everything you guys have talked about has been Greek. I have no idea what you guys
Kamen Rider nonsense, Kamen Rider something, Kamen Rider. There you go.
Don't worry, Sean. When the Kamen Rider game comes out, we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
We'll all yawn.
No, because I'm going to play it.
Yeah, damn right. I can't wait for the new season of Akiba Ranger to start, but that's a different, wholly different subject.
No, that's a good point. It's coming out April 5th.
Yay, I have a date.
Finally.
Yay. Shut up, I have a girlfriend.
Date with a Ferrari.
That's glitch.
All right. That should be enough about Naruto for now. Go out and try the demo. It's cool. I'm looking forward to the game.
It was all right.
I want to play multiplayer.
If you like the show, you might like it
I want to play the multiplayer, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So the next piece of gaming news that is probably the biggest thing that happened this week of recording, anyways, is that the PS4 was announced.
Yep. Oh my god, no.
Yay.
Hang on. Let's
by a show of hands.
Yeah. Who's excited and who is not?
Not.
I'm skeptically optimistic. I don't think Sony's infallible. They've clearly made mistakes in the past, but I still like a lot of their games, and for the most part I'm excited, but I still think at this point we just don't know enough about it.
Yeah, my opinion.
They didn't show what it looked like.
No, here's my opinion.
I'm trying to make it about Vita.
Hey, I agree with Dylan, but the problem that I had was I'm not ready for my PlayStation 4 to be my PlayStation 3 to become obsolete. Like it's just
no, it won't be. Like PS4 won't be backwards compatible.
No, I don't. They didn't really explain a lot of stuff. All I really revealed was that stupid controller. Like that share button. That share button is stupid. Like
I don't know. I did not think that it was that stupid. I'm not up in arms.
I just feel like they're making the same mistakes again, which is they're throwing a bunch of technology at a problem that isn't about the technology. I mean, because what was arguably one of the greatest games of the last like 2 years. Minecraft.
Yep.
Minecraft is not a technologically intensive game, is it?
Nope.
No.
Yeah.
And it scares the bejesus out of them because they're making consoles. They're pushing for a console that only a triple A game maker is going to be able to make games for. And
that's incorrect. They actually, one big takeaway that I think a lot of people won't really understand is Sony has completely dropped their cell programming, which was really hard for developers to develop with, and now they've switched to something that resembles more of a PC, so it's going to be a lot easier for people to develop games for.
Okay, but the rest of the hardware is, you're talking about, like, these are things that are going to be, like, incredibly graphics intensive. Like, that's what Sony's going to be pushing for, whereas, like, your PC market, I mean, gods. I
don't think they have to be, but...
Here's the thing.
But they're already pushing on how real things look at
it. Okay, but back to, like, I just want to elaborate a little bit on the share button. Is, remember the days of video games where it wasn't about playing... Like, you could sit down and play by your lonesome and enjoy a story for a video game... And it seems that nowadays, video games are all about the multiplayer and getting people involved. When I play video games, I want to play. Like, that's why I got the new Hitman game. That's 100% single player. It got me immersed in the story. or what there was of a story. And with the share button, it's like, oh, now all my friends can watch me do everything. And, like, now I'm going to jump on Call of Duty with them. And you
That's
know.
Actually a good thought, too, is that if people can watch you play games and see the story, if they're looking for story-driven play, what's the point of them even buying the game themselves if they can just watch somebody play through it?
I think it's more for people who stream stuff on Twitch or just in TV.
Yeah, but
or like do a lot of Let's Plays, which that's nice for, but still it kind of takes away a whole lot.
But like,
I think a lot of people like have the hobby of I'll play a video game and like post that video on YouTube of me like being stupid. And
yeah, it's real nice to get, like, get something graphically like a funny glitch like have like in Skyrim or
that's true like
any, well, any, you do something that's so cool you can instantly hit that button and shit.
Yeah, well, I do want to point out that like I mean Bungie's big thing with they revealed that Destiny was going to be on the PS4, which is really cool. And the fact that like Destiny plans on being like a single player story, but like at times it's going to be like Journey where like it will randomly drop other players into your game. I think they're just going for a more social experience overall, is what it is. And realizing, I think the neatest thing about the social experience, though, that I think we should take away from this is they're connecting your name to it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's kind of cool. I don't know how much I'll end up using it. I'll have to.
Yeah.
You know, I guess get my hands on it before I decide that, but I'm not that up in arms about that, those features.
Okay. Right. So how about this?
I do think if you're not careful, you could get something spoiled for you. I thought about that, but.
That's true. So how about this, guys? Did you guys see the new innovation that they're doing with the PlayStation 4 called first-person shooters, where you get to shoot at everything that runs at you funny? I'm excited for this concept.
Oh yeah.
Are you making fun of first person shooters? I didn't get the joke.
Yeah, I am. I just feel like, you know, one of their big reveals was, oh, there's a new Killzone coming out and it looks exactly the same as every other. I mean, I'm not saying anything bad about Killzone.
Doesn't look the same as any other Killzone.
No. I'm not saying you interrupted me.
Anthony's in it.
you interrupted me. I'm not saying that Killzone's bad or anything like that. I'm just saying that first-person shooters are all looking the same now, where you unload ammo into the bad guys until they stop running at you, and then something happens. Like,
yeah, but Andrew, you have to think about, you're not the 90% of people that are thinking about buying this console, and those 90% of people want that first-person experience.
Yeah, which really sucks.
It does suck.
Well,
because
that
means
that
the industry is turning into mindless zombies.
As a first-person shooter player, like, granted, it can get really formulaic at times, but like, those games are a lot of fun, and
yeah, I agree with Sean. Yeah, they're fun, but sometimes you want to.
But the thing is, Half-Life is fun too, and they made the first person shooter experience completely different with a game like Half-Life.
And the other side to that too is Portal. Like, Portal was a completely innovative, you know.
Yeah. Okay, now that one I will argue is a puzzle game with a first person experience.
It's not a first person shooter. It's not a first person shooter, but it's still a first person game. Like, they're still doing something different with the first person aspect.
That's what I'm saying.
Instead of unloading bullets into things that run at you,
Andrew, your argument actually is, I don't know if this would make it less valid. They did show a very innovative first-person game during the conference.
Which one?
They showed Witness.
I missed most of it, remember? So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, okay, I'll just give you the John Blow. I don't know if you remember. He made Braid. He was in the indie game
movie. Okay, yeah.
He did a trailer for his next game, which is Witness. It's a first-person open-world puzzle game.
Cool. Yeah. See, now that's like something like Myst, right? Yeah, it was an adventure. It was kind of a point and click adventure, but it was kind of first person in the way that it was made.
My problem with you identifying like the first person shooters with the first person thing is there are third person shooters that play just like those. That you're talking about the delivery method when it's the gameplay itself that you have a problem with.
Yeah.
And I like that. I like that lock and load, run them down, you know, gun happy feeling, you know. And it's just,
yeah, I like it too.
I think it's just like, but in the same respect that you feel about first person shooters, I go to fighting games and I'm like, I don't even care. I really don't.
Yep, exactly. I feel like all of them are the same to me, even though
like all formulas are starting to become quite the same in fighting games, first person shooters, and anything else. No one's really trying to do anything innovative, which I can understand why they're not, because they don't know if it'll sell or not. But also, we're playing a video game. We want to do as a customer, I want something slightly different. If you're going to do the exact same thing you did in your previous game, I'm just going to keep your previous game and leave it at that.
Yeah. Wait, I did hear the most recent thing that I got really excited about was, I forget the name of the game, but there's some horror game that I think is going to be procedurally created. So, like, I think you'll be in a building and all the rooms will be randomly created around you, so you won't know what's next every time
that's,
you play.
That's cool.
Yeah.
See, okay, now, another one that I want to bring up is a game that I was really excited about, which was Watch Dogs. You know, because it's a really cool idea, manipulate the world around you. Yeah. Unfortunately, the demo they showed was very, very scripted.
Every demo is scripted.
No, I know, but the thing is, I feel like they could have showed us more by actually showing us something that was unscripted, because all they talked about was how unscripted it was, and they only showed us scripted events.
Speaking of scripted, let's talk about the whole conference in general. Why are all these conferences so kind of droll and dull?
because it's not actually the artists and programmers who work on the game. Yeah, it's the people who are selling it.
It's all the businessmen.
Yeah, but they're not trying to sell the businessmen anymore. This is kind of a day and age where, honestly, the viewer and the customer has a lot more say than the business person you're trying to sell it to.
Yet they're still doing the presentations.
What I think was most surprising was all the information Square Enix dropped on us. All that amazing new news they had to...
I missed it.
We're now cubing.
for those of you who can't pick up on my sarcasm, they basically just walked out and said, wait till E3.
Oh, yeah. I did hear about that. Oh, but which...
They showed the demo to their new engine, which we've already seen a year ago. Yeah. And then they...
Which reminds me, did you guys see the PS4 abridged announcement?
No.
Oh my gosh, I'll post that in the comments. It is so funny.
It is. It's like one of the funniest videos I've seen.
It's like, okay. Oh my god, Square Enix. Okay, bye.
Well, and then Blizzard came out and they were like, oh, Diablo 3. It was like, "Oh, we've already been playing Diablo for a year, you know."
Diablo 3 on a PS4.
Yeah, like,
ugh. Well, I think that's the first time Blizzard's going to have a console game since, like, wasn't there a StarCraft
on N64? StarCraft on N64? Oh my gosh, I have that.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that's pretty substantial that maybe Blizzard might be doing some more console games. Maybe not.
It's true, but they can do whatever they want. Blizzard's had some really, really bad luck with console games in the past.
Okay,
yeah.
I want to bring something up that I'd been thinking about the other day, and I wanted to bring it up to you guys now because this would be a good time to talk about it. So everybody agrees that the hardware on this machine is pretty ridiculous for a console, right? Like, it's good.
Yeah,
it's a computer.
Yeah, it's a computer. Okay, and all of these developers and everything are playing to Sony's tune, and they're saying that, like, we're finally free to make the games that we wanted to make. You know, we can get as realistic as we want. Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't it the limitations that were placed on these games before? You know, working within the constraints of the systems and all of these things, that's kind of what made the magic to begin with. Isn't it limitations that make this kind of creativity?
Yes, I can agree with you.
I agree completely.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about, is we're just going to end up with a lot more bland crap.
Yeah, because that's a really good point, especially because, like on my PS3, I play, every time I turn my PS3 on, I play, like, maybe a half hour to an hour of a game, and then I'll go into my store and play through the Earthworm Jim in its entirety every single time I turn on my PlayStation, just because I have so much fun with those old, you know, like, you know, downgraded, less looking games, because it had so much style to it. You know, it didn't have to be
limits.
Well, yeah, it didn't have to be realistic. Yes. Well, we still play our Sega Genesis. Yeah, Sega Genesis is still, in my opinion, like, it's probably one of the top systems ever made. I love
under Nintendo.
I still play my Game Boy Advance all the time. My Game Boy Advance, like, it's not even... like, Metroid Fusion is still one of my favorite games.
Yeah.
I still play Solitaire.
I mean, I'm not... This might be because we're, like, older than the generation we grew up with, but once you really think about it, yeah, like, considering the games back then were just 8-bit and 16-bit, they had a lot more limitations where they had to
be
creative with stuff.
I didn't even pick up Metroid and stuff until I was like 23, 24, you know?
Yeah. And it's true because, I mean, when you think about it, you know, what was that last demo that they made, like Eve or something? That robot girl that was being put together. And
oh,
that was
Kara.
Like Kara. Yeah, it was like, that looks really beautiful. Like, I do not doubt that looks really beautiful. But I mean, like, and same with the PS4 thing where they zoomed in on the old guy's face. It's like, that looks gorgeous.
Yeah, both those were done by Quantic.
Yeah, but it's like, I don't really care how good it looks. Is it fun?
I was just going to let John finish.
Yeah, thought. I was just going to say, I don't really care how it looks. Is it fun? You know? I mean, mm-hmm. Some people do like graphics, and that's fine. But I don't. I like gameplay over graphics.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also, like, when is real too real for graphics and whatnot, too?
Well, how about this? Have you guys seen the indie project coming out called Riot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a prime example of something that looks incredibly fun through simplicity.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Yeah, it's for those who don't know, it's like a pixel art game where you can play as police or rioters 8-bit
riot
during,
simulator.
I think they're actual riots that took place in history.
They are. Vancouver Stanley Cup riot. Yeah.
So there's a lot of riots in rugby and football games across the pond.
but yeah, I mean, that was something that really concerned me as far as like it, as a creative like playground. Like, is the taking the limitations off the hardware, I mean, what is it going to do to the overall ability to work around problems, you know?
More Call of Duty.
If you can program whatever you want, you're never going to come up with creative crap. You're really not.
And that's the thing. For those who don't know, my degree is in the video game industry. I'm still trying to break out into it, but I hope my dream job is to become a designer one day, and I hope that I get to design my own games. My vision for my games does not look anything like this new technology. Like, if I have the chance to make a game, it's not going to look like the up-to-date technology. I want it to look like the way that I picture it in my head, which is not, like, fantastic, shiny something. It's going to be...
like, cel-shaded or...
Yeah, maybe like cel-shaded, cartoony, something that doesn't look real. Something that... or suspends, like, reality. Kind of like the way that, say, Fooly Cooly was made into a video game. That's what my games would look like.
Yeah, that's kind of my problem with the PS4. Like, yeah, the graphics are really great, but they're really, really good graphics. Like, for Christ's sake, can we, like, remember that we're playing the game and I'm watching the movie?
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's, I think that's another thing that people always forget. I think this is just a repeated thing that I'm saying is, like, they have to feel like the game has to look pretty in order to be good.
Yeah. And I mean, and this comes from, and like the creative thing comes back from, and as you guys know, I love tabletop RPGs. It is somewhere I started. Like my first social experiences were sitting around a table and throwing dice with people. And I think they're trying to, I don't know. It's like maybe sometimes having it all in your head is better. It doesn't have to be this gorgeously scripted thing in front of you. Like, I feel like we're taking away from like the, By making it prettier on the screen, they're taking away from part of what makes all of those moments like really cool to groups of people, which is the actual interactive part of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. And I also do want to say I don't have a problem with multiplayer. I know I always make it sound like I have a problem with multiplayer, but like it has to be done right. Like, I feel like the fact that we're all getting, like, everybody gets excited for a multiplayer game that happens to have single player in it, when we're forgetting about that there used to be stories to be told, like, through a different visual art. I feel like nowadays it's really, really hard to tell a story through the video game media. Like, it has to be a TV show or it has to be a book now. Like,
I think if people did more multiplayer the way like Journey did, it would be really cool.
Yeah, well, I'm really looking forward to stuff like that, Dylan. Because like with the way they said Destiny was going to play, I was like, that sounds brilliant.
Well, like
where they just to explain it, you would just be playing your game, walking, and then all of a sudden you could maybe randomly see someone way off in the distance, and you could choose to run up and play with them or just go your separate ways.
And you know. I think what it seems like is happening is nobody's making multiplayer games where you have to work together. Everybody's going lone wolf whenever, like, they're playing multiplayer so they can be the best. People need to make multiplayer games where you have to work as a team, and if you don't work as a team, you will fail.
That what you're talking about is what MMOs have been doing for years, and it's hard to find, like, that kind of cohesiveness in a place where you don't have to dedicate a lot of time, because working together requires practice and trust. And those aren't things that you do when you like randomly just drop into a group. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But here's a prime example. We saw a video last night called Angry Joe, the Angry Joe Show, and he was reviewing Aliens Colonial Marines, and it has up to 4 co-op multiplayer for the story mode. And the problem that he had, he said there were so many different kinds of Marines in the Alien lore, and but every single one felt exactly the same. Like, there wasn't one that had a smart gun. There wasn't one that had med packs. There wasn't one that had, like, the motion tracker. You know, like, if
like they did one... AVP? Or, yeah, the AVP game?
Exactly. And, like, they were, like, and it was a missed opportunity. Yeah, so, like, you can play the single-player campaign with 4 of your friends, but all of you are exactly the same. There's no role-playing involved.
It can get to the point where it feels like you're just playing single-player, and the only time you remember that you're playing multiplayer is when one of your guys dies and you have to pick him up.
Yeah, but that game had so many other flaws.
That game got terrible reviews.
That's true. It's true, but even still, it's a prime example of what multiplayer could have been.
No, true, and I completely agree, and I love role warfare, where you have to, like, you can't do it alone, you have to have other people in the, there was a game coming out, and I never remember what happened to it. It was called Huxley, which was going to be an MMO FPS, and I was like, this sounds brilliant.
I was so excited for Huxley. I followed, like, all the release videos. I watched the tech demo, and it looked gorgeous, and it was such a good idea. Like, you could give level 5 players level 20 weapons if you were a high ranking and stuff like that. People would roll in and out of the game in, like, tanks and stuff like that, and then they just it went off the face of the earth.
Yeah. Now, it does look like they're doing that in Dust 514 also.
Okay.
By 1.4. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, I guess it's 14.
Whatever works for you, Dylan.
That's no. I've never heard anyone pronounce it that way, though. Just so you know.
Oh, I'm sorry. I do a lot of reading. I haven't heard anybody say it. So.
Oh, somebody does a lot of reading. Yeah.
Yes, Dylan, I read.
Well,
but anyway, Dust 514 has a lot of that role warfare also because its sister game is an MMO. You know, Eve. In case you didn't know.
Yes, we know. EVE Online. Spreadsheet's the game.
Spreadsheet game.
I just gotta say with this, like, the PS4 and so like the PS2 just seems like the hot chick of video gaming.
Yeah. The prom queen.
Yeah, the graphics are real pretty. Everything looks good, nice, and crisp and whatnot. But where's the substance?
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. Maybe this would be a good way to end the PlayStation 4 topic. What would you like to see Microsoft do to win over what Sony just done?
Not participate.
What?
Whoa, no, because competition is good. Competition forces growth.
No, and I agree, but I think Microsoft should not make a console. They should make it they should make a computer. They should continue making Microsoft, you know, computers like for gaming and stuff like that.
Give it up on console wars. Console wars are dead now. I miss back in the day where they actually were console wars and the commercials dissed each other.
Yeah, because the thing is, the 360 was good for a while, but after I got my PlayStation, I kind of forgot about it. And I feel like Microsoft they were really good at making computers. They couldn't, and computers don't really have the limitations that consoles have.
Microsoft is only a software company.
Yeah, and I feel like.
So, anyway,
I think
this is, as somebody that played a lot of Xbox and a lot of Xbox 360, which was kind of my home console, was I think the one thing that they did better than PlayStation did was the social gaming. I mean, that's where...
Yeah, they did better than multiplayer.
Yeah.
Which is why I think that you're less than impressed with it, is because it just did something you weren't as interested in.
It's true. But I also think that there were specific games that needed to be played on the PlayStation and specific games that needed to be played on the Xbox.
Yeah, and that's...
Either way, it's still an exclusive.
And that was part of the reason was because of the cell programming.
Yeah.
On the PS3. It made it a little bit more difficult for... companies that weren't first party and owned by Sony.
Yeah.
Let's bring back console wars, people.
Let's not. Yeah.
Let's make a game that's exclusive to one system and leave it at that and not have it be for all three. Or if you're going to do for all three, have them all be completely different, like Aladdin.
No, and they already did, and that's Fire Emblem, the new Fire Emblem game. I'm pissed that I can't play that.
Yeah.
I want a 3DS to play that game.
Oh, I miss the Fire Emblem series. They were so good.
Have you heard about this new Fire Emblem game? Like, no.
It requires thought. Dylan's not into it.
It has, you can create a character. You can create a character. You can fall in love with other characters. You can have descendants with them, and it will mix their skills in battle. And you can play as the descendants of, like, those troops and not stuff.
By have descendants, do you mean getting a Ferrari?
And not only that, but you know, like how 3DS has like the walk by thing and it picks up people's Miis. It does that with people's create a characters, and you can get people's create a character in your army for Fire Emblem.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it just looks like a really fun game, and it looks really fun. See, Fire Emblem is my kind of RPG. I don't like RPGs either. But
you like tactical RPGs.
Yeah, I like tactics.
I love tactical RPGs.
Oh, and me I think, too.
And I think we're going
to... real time RPGs.
I think I'm going to get more into this when we move on to the actual Tapagotchi. This went on really, really long, guys.
Yeah, we knew it was gonna.
Yeah, we did. Actually, I think we did pretty good considering, because I thought it was going to go on for not as long, but we discussed the crap out of that PS4. And there's, like, a whole bunch of different opinions, and that was beautiful.
We got informal for a second.
Yeah.
But let's get back to stupid. Me and Dylan are bored.
Do you think that...
we still have to talk about what we're watching.
No, we did what we're playing this week.
So we're not doing what we're watching?
No, we're not doing what we're watching. Unless you're watching something that you really want to talk about.
No. I've been catching up on Wizard, but that's about it.
No. Okay, it's fine. So in that case, we can move on to, like, the actual Tapagotchi.
We're still friends, right, guys? We all have all of our differing opinions, still friends.
Burn in hell.
Yo. Nintendo for life, bitch. You suck.
Notice how not once we talked about the Wii U during that.
Yeah.
Aww.
Sorry, Wii U.
Aw. Wii U's gonna drop a bomb on the console wars and just...
We don't love you. That was a stretch, I know.
God, I hate you.
What's the Tapagotchi?
With the Tapagotchi tonight, the we're gonna talk about... we're gonna talk about video games. Not specifically Japanese, you know, video games, but we would like to keep it in that realm, seeing that we are an anime podcast.
I can actually talk about this.
Excellent.
Realize.
That's good. Okay, so let's start off with something broad. Let's stick to Japanese video games for now. What is your favorite video game from Japan?
Dark Souls.
Mystical Ninja.
Is Dark Souls a Japanese game?
Yeah, From Software is a Japanese game.
Okay,
company.
Cool. I didn't know that. So.
And I think Atlus is a... Atlus brings Japanese games to America. I don't know if they are Japanese. They're the publisher.
Yeah. And Atlus actually has a really good eye for games, too. I like any games that Atlus
makes. Yeah, a lot of the games they bring over.
Really Bubsy cool. Bobcat.
Is that serious?
They brought that.
Final Fantasy Tactics for me.
I actually never really got into Final Fantasy Tactics, but if I had to play a Final Fantasy game, that would probably be the one that I would try.
I'm telling you right now, it's like, I want to get a PSP just so I can play the updated version, like War of the Lions.
Yeah.
So freaking bad, it hurts.
Let's see. Japanese game. Well, I have mine.
Yeah, go for it.
Mine is Valkyria Chronicles. Does anybody know what that game is?
Yes.
Okay, Valkyria Chronicles, just give a rundown, is kind of like a tactics RPG. What you have, it's like a faux World War II game, and it's a fictional European country is fighting against an empire, and you just play as militia. And the game overall is like 40 hours long, but like battles themselves can take up to 2 hours. And when you beat Valkyria Chronicles, it's like you won a war. Like, you feel so super accomplished in that game.
It's 26 chapters long.
Yeah, and it's also third person. When you select a character, it goes into third person mode, and you move them freely. Like, it's not square-based or anything like that in the game. And not to mention, the story in it is amazing. I almost cried at the end of the game. Mad tears.
Andrew, did you come up with one?
Yeah,
I think we're going to have to do ask which one's our favorite retro Japanese game, because I have good answers for that. But so, because the only current Japanese game that I can think of is White Knight Chronicles. I think White Knight Chronicles was my favorite. So, because I mean, it wasn't too hard of an RPG. It was pretty good for my taste as far as Japanese games go. It wasn't really super difficult, and it got me immersed into the story. The difficulty gets really hard, and the challenge, like, because the bad guys are just like impossibly hard, and they substitute that for challenge.
No, that only happened in the second game.
The first White Knight Chronicles game.
It was still a good game though. So.
Oh yeah, mine was Mystical Ninja starring Gomen.
Oh, Gomen!
Oh, I didn't hear you say that.
Like, it was so confusing when you first played it if you know nothing about Japanese culture, which happened when I first played it as a kid.
Yeah, I played it with a guide.
What system was it on?
That's kind of how I played Dark Souls. Souls.
Oh, okay. I think I remember that game now.
Blue-haired ninja hit stuff with a fight.
Yep.
I figured it all out without a guide. What?
Good for you.
Took me forever.
You're just better than everyone in Glitch.
Yeah, but I just wanted to master it from that, man.
All right, so what are the favorite retro games from Japan?
Well, mine was kind of retro.
I don't think I've played that many retro ones. Would you count that as retro?
What, that you can't think of any retro?
Pokemon games? Red and Blue.
Yeah, right. That I started playing the first Final Fantasy. Like, they did sort of like a little bit of a remake where the graphics were a tiny bit upgraded, but I never beat it.
Huh.
Only played it for like a couple hours.
Dragon Quest here is pretty good. Maybe the first couple.
I don't think I've played that many retro Japanese games.
Mine would definitely
really have or something. Mario.
Mine would have to be the first game I ever played, which was Streets of Rage. Not Streets of Rage 2 or 3, the first Streets of Rage.
Because that's a good game.
That game is still fun as hell to play. Like, Jonathan and I played that just the other day. And we just destroyed it. It was awesome.
Yeah, I think mine goes back to like Final Fantasy. See, I didn't play a lot of retro games when they were like coming out. I didn't play them until later. So like when the Final Fantasy 1 and 2 Special Edition came out for like the PlayStation, I remember.
That's what I was talking about.
Final Fantasy 2 was the one I actually got into. I liked the skill system for that one a lot more, and that was cool. And then what was the other one? Final Fantasy Tactics, and like, legitimately, like, I played, was it Oracle Seasons and Oracle of Time, like Legend of Zelda for the Game Boy? Those were, that's about as retro as I got, as far as those.
I know my favorite retro Japanese game.
Okay.
Glitch has one, and he's better than everyone else.
No, I just had a thought. Harvest Moon.
Yeah, oh my god, I knew that was going to show up.
It's an awesome game. That's like the most relaxing game anyone can ever play, just about for retro gaming.
Because there's no Farmville. Like,
I want to play Harvest Moon.
Exactly.
Well, it's just because there was no like challenge.
There was a little challenge, but yeah. You didn't have to do it.
Right. That's what I mean. It was an actually like a life simulator game.
It was. I loved it. It was very relaxing. Oh, who did
the music was relaxing?
Who did Animal Crossing? Was that Japanese?
Yeah, that was Japanese.
Yeah. My roommates and I played the hell out of Animal Crossing.
Really?
I never got the appeal of Animal Crossing. Like, I loved the game, but I never got why I loved it.
It's something you played, like, with other people, but not at the same time. It was like an asynchronous social game, yeah.
Hated that raccoon.
You just always owed him money.
Because he'd be the first target.
That's dark.
No! Have you played Animal Crossing?
A little bit, yeah.
Like, first, Tom was one of the first people you see. Okay, I'm going to leave you this house. I'm going to see this house. Cool. Do it on credit. You'll pay me back. As soon as you pay this fucker back, he coincidentally upgraded your house, so you still owe this twat. He's a loan shark.
That's how life works.
He is a loan shark. But yeah, like,
there could have been a literal loan shark in the game.
Nook should have been a shark more than a raccoon. Damn, coon.
That means front mission.
Whoa.
I like.
Oh, wow, you said front mission, Sean. That's a pretty good choice.
Yeah. Well, like you guys, I share the love of tactical RPGs, and yeah. That was a really good one.
Front mission 3, by the way.
And see, mine was front mission 4. I really liked 4.
Really?
Yeah.
What about front mission evolved?
I don't. That was the first-person shooter one, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't think anybody liked that game.
Dude, if I'm going to play a mecha game, I'll go play, like, Mech Assault Lone Wolf or something.
Why Lone Wolf? Just play Mech Assault. Mech Assault 1 was awesome.
I liked, I don't know, I liked Lone Wolf, because I liked hacking people's mechs.
You could hack mechs in number 1. Was it 2?
It was 2, that yeah. That's because you got the proto mech, which lets you jump on their back.
Oh, okay. Well, no, because there was, I thought there was a hacking gun, like, you shot, like, a laser line to the other robots.
Not that I remember, and I've played Mech Assault 1 recently.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. That was one of the first games I played for the Xbox, seeing that it came with an Xbox.
Yeah, so... But anyway, Front Mission. That was fun.
Front Mission was fun, especially doing epic readings, because they only drew 2 character pictures for each one, either happy or angry.
So... But yeah, that's pretty much it.
Get the business end of my Lanza! That's an actual line in the game, by the way. An actual line of the game. Do we want to do Japanese... Well, which one was the bad one that we want to do afterwards? Japanese games and...
Based on animes?
Yeah, no, animes based on games.
Animes based on games?
Yeah, because yeah. I have the worst one ever.
Go for it.
Devil May Cry?
Really? Because, I mean...
Oh, no, don't you even go there. And I love Devil May Cry. That anime was terrible.
No, well, that's the thing. I've never seen I've seen, like, the first episode of the anime, and it was, like, it was cool, but I didn't see enough of the anime to judge it.
Oh, no, it's very much like the game. There's very little substance, very much style.
Yeah, the props that I give them for that anime, though, is that they got all the original voice actors of the game
itself. Yeah, that was cool, though. I will give them that. But, like, it was just bad. And then, well, then you have stuff like the... Well, man, the Tekken movie was awesome. The one back in the 90s.
Oh, okay.
Jesus.
That one. Jeez, I thought you were talking about, like, the live-action one where it's a cage fight thing, and it's like, holy crap.
He's talking about Hayachi fighting through a hatchet.
Okay. Well, how about, Sean, we can talk about this one. The one that, we've discussed this before. Baldur Force.
Oh, God.
That, based off of a hentai game, oh, yeah. Like,
I forgot animes... about Baldur Force.
That raises so many questions about you, too. Oh, wait, Fate Stay Night was one.
That was a novel. That was based off of a novel, I think.
Visual novel.
I
thought it was based off of an erotic game.
Yeah, EX, Baldur Force was an Eroge game. Eroge. Yes, but I thought that they were just...
I don't feel comfortable talking about this anymore.
No, I'm just saying, I thought...
No, we can talk about the Ferrari some more.
I thought Fate Stay Night was a visual novel, not an actual game.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, Monster Ranchers.
Was that a game?
Yep, that was a game first in the anime.
So was Pokemon.
Well, we knew that, though. I thought that Monster...
Digimon and...
You didn't surprise us, Sean, so we'll dismiss you.
I thought Monster Rangers was in the same effect as Digimon, where it was a show first.
No,
Digimon was a game first.
Most everything in Japan is like a manga, then a game, then an anime.
Yeah.
Like, that's the process that it goes through.
That's really weird. I didn't know that about Digimon either.
Yeah, Digimon. They were like Tamagotchis. They were like dude version of Tamagotchis.
Oh.
Yeah, I had one. Another one.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. LCD, and then you could, what?
Yeah, and then you could link them together to battle, right?
Yeah. They had these little contacts that you put them together and you could
battle. You can hook them up with other people and battle. Yep.
Okay, cool. I didn't know that. On the flip side, I know that they made a couple video games based off of Eureka 7, and they didn't do very well at all. But they came with like special DVDs and stuff like that to boost interest.
I hate stuff that's based off of anime.
Like, as in, like, you'd prefer just to stay anime?
Yeah.
Or
because, like, let's be honest, with the exception of like, like the occasional Naruto game and stuff, like most of the games based on like other intellectual properties, not good.
Well, it seems the thing that they like to do if they need to make a quick and easy anime game is exactly what they did with, the Fist of the North Star games. They make a Dynasty Warriors game. Like, that's what they did with One Piece.
Gundam.
Bleach
has it too.
Bleach, Gundam, One Piece, Fist of the North Star. I don't think Naruto has a
I don't think so.
I think the one that makes the most sense.
No,
too.
You're right. Actually, I think, but I feel like that element is going to be in this new one, though. The one that we were just talking about. It kind of seems like that they're going to recreate battles for it, like the Ninja Wars.
Yeah.
So it might actually have that element in it, although it's not the main element. So.
Oh, and then
also they did it for Kamen Rider, the new Kamen Rider game.
Yeah, the new Kamen Rider game is the Dynasty Warriors game, and then also with the. Barsara game. I forget what the full title is.
Yeah, but
like Barsara's
Kamen Rider has also had Gamba Ride, which is all they have like a line of fighting games also. So
yeah, and those are hard.
Yeah, I played like two of them, and I was not very good.
Me neither.
I was like, man, I picked Kamen Rider Kabuto. He's got super speed. This should be easy. Done.
Game over.
Clock up. Clock over. What? So, yeah, that's it. That's all I have. I'm tapped out.
I think we wasted all of our mental energy on the PS4 thing.
On PlayStation 4. So many opinions.
Well, the rest of us glitch.
All right, so should we move on to...
Pure one like a McDonald's crash right now.
Shameless plugs it as. Go, Andrew. Okay, so if you guys want to... contribute to our PlayStation 4 conversation, maybe join some sides, not join some sides. maybe even just tell us what some of your favorite video games are, used to be. Join Team Wii U. Join Team Wii U.
They got plenty of spots.
You can email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That is wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. You can also find us at facebook.com/wickedanime. Check out our YouTube channel with all of our review videos and all that with youtube.com/wickedanimereviews. We also have the Tumblr up and running now. Tumblr is fully functional, and we have gotten lots of viewers. And thank you, everybody that is hentai Tumblr that is joining us. Like, holy crap. Let me tell you all the, hey, blank hentai has now joined your Tumblr.
Huh. What have you guys been up to?
What is on our Tumblr?
Nothing. Like, nothing like that. Anyway.
Yet.
And what am I forgetting? We have nerdyshow.com. Go to nerdyshow.com/wickedanime where you can find the videos and perhaps this podcast you're listening to. We haven't got any questions in a while. If you guys ask us questions on any of these pages, we'll answer them for you on the next episode.
Yeah, we will answer you. Answer your emails.
Please ask questions, please.
Within reason.
All right. I think that's it.
And you know, just be nice to people.
Yeah.
Leave a comment. We'll reply to your comment as well.
I reply to all the comments. Yeah, so.
Maybe not me.
Probably Jonathan or Andrew.
Yeah, Glitch has been like... I need a comment to reply to. And I hate Dylan. All right.
They use a really weird voice when they impersonate you. Like, I hate Dylan.
I mean, I know I'm Southern, but come on now. I went way deeper.
I don't have a deep voice, so.
In fact, I want all comments to be toward me. Hashtag, I hate Dylan. That's if you want them toward me, put a hashtag as that.
Oh, we might have to create a Twitter for that.
Me with that, too. I'm sure.
I hate you, Dylan.
That's how I know it for me.
And then,
I only have 5 followers anyways. I never use that.
Oh, yeah.
I know one of the people who follow me.
and it's Bob Kotick. Hey, let us know what you think about the new Wicked Anime theme song, too.
That exists.
This was the first episode.
This was the first episode.
First episode of the podcast where we used the new theme song, so...
Did we talk about what song we're going to use at the end of the show?
Nope. Oh, but you know what I do have? I do have the entire soundtrack to Streets of Rage.
Ooh.
It looks like we're winging the music again.
This is it. It's over.
Yeah. Looks like we're winging the music again this week.
We're about to crash this Ferrari.
All right, guys. What does the PS4 look like? I think it's time to end this podcast the only way we know how. K-bye. I bet the new PS4 is
so weak. I'm so sorry.
Okay. So if you
get McDonald's, be sure to eat at your local McDonald's.
We are not plugging
Try
McDonald's.
New McRib. Now back again for the 20th time.
Out of the Disney vault, the McRib.
Oh, that was good.
Disney vault.
Thanks for listening to the Wicked Anime Podcast. The Wicked Anime Podcast is made possible by a comic shop, Nerdapalooza, and the generous support of listeners like you. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling friends, rating, and reviewing us on iTunes, or making a contribution in our monthly support drive. Any size contribution gets you exclusive Nerdy Show audio and images and lets you participate in our monthly support drives. Just go to nerdyshow.com and click the support button on the top of the page. For more episodes of the Wicked Anime Podcast, as well as other fine programming, community forums, videos, articles, and more, head over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to all the Nerdy Show Network podcasts via the iTunes Store, and for the latest news, follow us on your favorite social network. It's Wicked A!